Welcome to Red Meat, the conservative news update you need from Odyssey stations across the country. This is the place where we're not afraid to dig in.
Again, we can't allow Democrats to use the security of our nation, of our homeland, as a bargaining chip in their, let's face it, their game plan to turn America into one-party nation.
You know what? Let's get right to it today. Here's the Mark Cox Show on the latest standoff between the GOP and the Dems.
That, of course, Senator Ron Johnson there talking about this DHS funding bill that, I don't know, to me doesn't look a lot different than the last one that was turned down a week ago by Mike Johnson. Right now, Ethan, let's go ahead and get to the Capitol beat, please.
Capitol beat.
Nice. We've got Congressman Eric Burleson on the line with us from Missouri's 7th Congressional District. So let me get your reaction to this sudden announcement that John Thune and Mike Johnson and everybody are online, in line, on board with the same DHS deal that Mike Johnson told him to go pound sand on about a week ago.
It is pretty similar. It is very similar. In fact, but the circumstances have changed just a little bit, and that is that Trump has decided, has figured out a way to fund all the sellers, not just TSA, for at least until the end of the year, which gives a little bit of comfort to know that, at least, Customs and Border Patrol agents are going to get funded, TSA, ICE agents are being funded. Here's where I think it still is really, it's unprecedented that the Democrats have gotten away with us carving out the parts of the bill that they don't like. That has never happened in an appropriations battle to our knowledge. We haven't seen that happen before. So they're setting that precedent. And frankly, if the tides turn and we end up in the minority, now you've set that precedent. Freedom Caucus members are going to be able to use that to their detriment in the future. But that being said, whenever we had our conference meeting, I said to the speaker, we should punish the Democrats by not only funding ICE agents and CBP, for multiple years, but we should boost their funding. This is coming from a fiscal conservative, but I'm saying let's give them 5% more than what they were going to get before, and let's cut all of the things that the Democrats wanted in those appropriation items. Let's get rid of all of their stuff, and so let's punish them while we got the chance. And then the final thing is that I don't think myself or anybody is willing to even entertain voting for this turd sandwich, if you will, until we actually complete the job of passing it in reconciliation. And because what they're saying is we're going to do a two-part way of funding this. We're going to fund them through mandatory spending and reconciliation, do a really quick reconciliation, fund ICE and CBP. And then we will also be doing a continuing resolution to fund them, and that CR won't have the funding for ICE and CBP. So the Democrats can claim their victory, but ultimately we've actually funded it. And I say you can't get the cart before the horse. You've got to fund ICE and CBP first, and then we can have the discussion about whether or not we pass their stupid CR.
Yeah, I love you made a reference to one of my favorite drops.
If you're feeding a person a crap sandwich with a smile, it's still a crap sandwich.
Yeah, see?
Absolutely. What is that from?
That's Colonel Alan West. I had him on the show one time, and he said that, and I clipped it, and I've saved it ever since. If you're feeding a person a crap sandwich with a smile, it's still a crap sandwich. So,
there you go. This reconciliation, though, I mean, we're talking it's a 6-8 week process, right? Senator Kennedy's been screaming for this resolution and this type of a strategy since what, January, when he first introduced it, saying we can get this done. Why has it taken so long for everybody now suddenly to say, oh, the reconciliation process might work? I mean, Senator Kennedy was trying to get that started in January.
Well, I mean, Senator Kennedy can be an oracle, but it doesn't mean that everybody listens to him.
Yeah.
You're assuming that people listen to reason in Washington, D.C. That's your first assumption.
Come on, Dan.
I'm sorry.
That's true. That's the truth.
Dan, I will say, if you keep it really simple, and I mean really simple, like funding CBP and funding ICE, it's not going to take 6 weeks. The reason why a reconciliation bill took 6 weeks before is because in the one big beautiful bill, you touched nearly every committee, and every committee had to meet, had to have hearings, had to take votes, and had to, put together this huge bill that was very complicated. And if any one piece of the bill fell apart, the whole thing fell apart. If you're doing just something that's streamlined and only focused on one committee, then you could do it in 2 weeks.
All right. We're talking to Congressman Eric Burleson. You and I have talked before about your duty on the committee looking at aliens and UAPs and all of that stuff. I got to ask you about a comment this week by your fellow colleague, Congressman Burchett out of Tennessee. I'm going to play it for you, and I want to get your reaction to it. He was talking about something Matt Gaetz said. He said he couldn't comment on it, and then he said this.
Just about every alphabet agency there is, and I'll just tell you this. If they would release the things that I've seen, you would stay up. You'd be up at night worrying about or thinking about this stuff. We just need to disclose it all. I'm sick of it. I was briefed last week on an issue, or excuse me, 2 weeks ago, and it would have set the earth on it. This country would have come unglued, I think, if they would have heard all that I heard. They would demand answers, and we need to. But it's never going to get. And unfortunately, it just keeps getting covered up and covered up, and the people that know are dying or disappearing, as the case may be.
Wow.
And for the record, I'm not suicidal, and I don't take risks.
So I have to ask, Congressman, have you been on any same briefings with Congressman Burchett there, and what's your reaction to that?
Well, I've been on some briefings with Congressman Burchett. There have been at least one that I can think of that was pretty revelatory. It wasn't one that made me stay up at night, but it was certainly, I walked away thinking, okay, well, maybe there's some pretty interesting stuff out there that we don't understand, but nothing that said definitively these are aliens, right?
Yeah.
And so then I have had a briefing recently on a very recent event that occurred over one of our military installations that did kind of keep me up at night. But that was only a briefing. I didn't see anything. And I don't think anybody's been shown any footage or photos of that event. And so what we are doing right now is we have a list of files. I've started a letter. I had Burchett, Luna. I had members of the Intelligence Committee. We sent it to the Department of War, to the Tulsi Gabbard, ODNI. We sent it to Department of Energy and to the Secretary of State's office with a list of video files that we've been made aware of. It's about two dozen files that we would like to be able to watch ourselves. In addition, I continue to meet with people who are currently active. The files that we had sent are from people that are no longer active. I have people that are currently active that I'm going to be meeting with that do have, some up-to-date information, and I'll be adding an addendum to that request shortly. So we are moving. It doesn't necessarily mean that we've proven that there's life on another planet, though. It could be China. It could be our own tech. But we don't definitively know what's up in the skies.
Wow.
Tim, he's a pretty straight shooting, normal guy, though. I mean, the sense of urgency in his voice and concern that you could clearly hear in that soundbite, what has he seen that maybe others haven't? Because he's the chairman of the committee, does he get briefed at a deeper level of some sort? Or
he doesn't. No, Tim doesn't. He's not a chairman. I'm a chairman, but I don't get briefed. Look, I think that the thing is, I don't remember what the phenomenon is called, but when you look at a cloud that's going by and some people see a rabbit and some people see a bear, and some people say, that looks to me like a cloud. And for me, I say, that looks like a cloud. But sometimes people can walk away from these briefings with different interpretations of what they've seen. And you know, to me, I just try to remain skeptical until I have definitive proof.
Yeah, that's good.
Well, Congressman, we appreciate your time.
So that turd sandwich the congressman referenced is one way to look at the proposed reconciliation deal. Here's another take from Tara Servatius.
Who is the most powerful man in Washington? Is it the king, Donald Trump? Mike Johnson, John Thune, ding, 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 ding. It's John Thune for the win, Roger.
Okay.
This is an incredible story. Okay, we started the week with...
That's amazing how many stories out of Washington could be opened with a line, this is an incredible story.
I know. I feel like I'm losing words in the English language. I don't know what's going on.
That can happen. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So John Thune decides to capitulate with the Democrats in the middle of the night. He's the supposedly Republican, but not really,
leader
of the Senate. And Democrats say, we want to defund ICE, want to defund Customs and Border Patrol. John's like, okay, thumbs up, cool, but we're going to have to do it in the middle of the night and then run. And he literally ran through the airport after with a Fox News reporter chasing him with a microphone. He was running. I mean, you should see the video. And they passed the bill to defund Customs and Border Patrol. Now, they didn't get everything they wanted. Remember, the Democrats wanted to unmask ICE, too, their terror squads could go to their homes and try to kill them.
And have to get a judicial warrant before you can make any arrest at all.
There's never going to be a judicial warrant. That's the punchline.
There you go.
You have to commit a federal crime for there to be a federal judicial warrant. So we'd be sitting here waiting for illegals to commit federal crimes or we couldn't touch them.
Right.
They'd be untouchable. So that's what happened. They did it in the middle of the night. And so Mike Johnson, who's the Speaker of the House and a Republican, is enraged in the beginning of the week. That's how I started Monday.
Yep.
And he's saying, we can't do this. This defunds ICE and Customs and Border Patrol.
Yep. Breathless polemics.
He said. He was outraged. And he was outraged because Thune didn't call him.
Yeah.
Just dropped him on. He had to read the news and find out about it.
We are furious. I mean, I think that came through in the press conference just now. I don't know how else to say it. I began the comments today by saying, let me be absolutely crystal clear. Under no circumstances are House Republicans going to be a part of anything that defunds border security and immigration enforcement or reopens our border.
Well, that was Monday.
Yes.
Well, now it's Friday.
Yes.
Johnson comes out and announces that actually the Senate deal looks kind of good.
Yeah.
Is it a different deal? No. No, it's not. The same deal. And that the House is going to support it.
Yes. It's our little two-step thing that we've come up with.
Yeah. But like Thune, he kind of didn't tell the Republicans about this before he announced it, that they'd be voting for this. Okay. If you're a Republican, all right, you cannot vote for this. Because you're going to get a primary challenger who's going to run commercials for 60 days saying you defunded ICE and Customs and Border Patrol, and they're going to be correct.
Yeah, they'll just beat you to death with it. Yeah.
Yeah. So yesterday there was a come to Jesus meeting. The screaming could be heard outside the door, according to the liberal media.
Right.
Mike Johnson and the Republicans. And they're like, no, homie, don't play that. So We're having the In Living Color references today throughout the show because I don't know why I feel like it. So, homie, don't play that. So, screaming and yelling at Mike Johnson. Here's how Axios reported it. There was a widespread feeling among Republicans they can no longer trust the Senate, i.e. the Senate Republicans, after last week's split over DHS funding. Members worry that if the House moves on passing a funding bill that defunds ICE and Customs and Border Patrol, the Senate could backtrack on funding those agencies. So what's going on? Well, Thune's like, okay, well, I might have just defunded them, but I promise in 2 weeks I'll fund them if you just pass the defunding bill. So we're going to defund them, and then we're going to fund them with a 51 vote, right? You can trust me, says John Thune.
Look at my track record.
The guy who in the middle of the night defunded Customs and Border Patrol and ICE, that guy?
2:30 in the morning, I
guess. Yeah. So this is incredibly dangerous for Republicans because Thune's going, oh, no. We're going to fund them for 3 years. It's going to be great. But first, you have to defund them. Trust me. Well, here's the thing. As Axios reported, one member said none of their colleagues are happy because they do not trust the Senate to come back and refund Customs and Border Patrol and ICE. They don't trust. And they shouldn't. John Thune, are you kidding me? So now Mike Johnson's had to come out and say, I don't know if I have the votes for this.
Yeah. Yeah. Nobody gets out with a whole coat on this one.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. And the whole filibuster thing is, well, that's another story.
Johnson says he doesn't have the support right now to pass a DHS bill funding without ICE and CPB. Of course you don't.
No.
So I don't know what the genius thought he would announce it, but you've got two Republican leaders now doing the bidding of Chuck Schumer, other than, you know, they haven't stripped ICE of the masks yet. And by the way, when I said the Democrats want to hunt them and kill them and maybe their wives and children in their own homes, that is not me being exaggerating. We just had the conviction last week of the five Democrat terrorists who tried open fire, remember, outside that ICE agency?
In
now, they're Democrats, so they didn't hit anything with the guns because they never used them before.
Right.
But thank God, you know what I'm saying? Like, thank God they're not. I mean, our guys, we hit stuff. Yeah. Their guys don't hit stuff. But they all went to prison for 20 plus years each, right? So these Democrats will for real ambush you outside with guns. Okay? They were all transgender persons. So, I don't know. I don't know what's up with that. But it's a real threat, right? So they didn't get that, but they got everything else. So right now, Thune and I guess Mike Johnson have managed to put the continued DHS shutdown on Republicans. It was on Democrats before. It had gotten so bad and so embarrassing, even CNN hosts were raking them over the coals for shutting down, you know, the TSA and all of that.
Sure.
So absolute betrayal. I don't know what Johnson is thinking here. The only reason he could have done this is that Johnson seemed to operate at the pleasure of Donald Trump, and everybody wants to know, did Trump tell you to vote for this?
No, but it would be the natural presumption.
Well, it gets Trump off the hook for TSA funding because it does fund the TSA.
Yeah, he's got to sign that pay order, too.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't trust that Thune will fund Customs and Border. I just don't. He's an open border zealot, every much of a zealot as Chuck Schumer.
Yep, all of which begs the question, as I think I had raised yesterday, of the question, the value of having a conservative majority in Congress.
Well, I don't know about that, but this is, I mean, the Democrats are just as happy as can be because this is going to absolutely enrage our base if they don't get this done, and it's going to depress midterm turnout, all for what? So Chuck Schumer can have what he wants? I don't know. I don't see the play. But this is where we are. It's shameful, and it's bad, especially Roger.
Yes.
Forgive me. Lee is my work spouse, so it's kind of.
Yes, I get it.
Yeah. So all of this as, you know, we have in Virginia a illegal immigrant slaughter, often with knives. I don't know why they're using knives now. In Virginia, pretty much daily now. And this is a great issue for us, but we will not do anything about it. So I don't know. I don't know what the plan is. I hope they come up with one. Now, you want to hear the big irony here? You want to hear the absolute stab through the heart?
Lay it on us.
Okay. You know how John Thune won't pass the SAVE Act because he says he is not nuking the filibuster,
exactly,
right? Because that would mean we'd only need 51 votes, which we have, not 60.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know what he was doing in the middle of the night? Nuking the filibuster. So Chuck Schumer,
yes,
Chuck U. Schumer, as a famous radio host used to call him, Chuck U. Schumer could defund Customs and Border Patrol. So understand, John Thune will nuke the filibuster to get Chucky's defunding of our border security through, but will not nuke the filibuster so that Donald Trump can save America and stop Chinese election fraud.
Simple as that.
With the SAVE Act.
Yeah. Wow.
And that's why he had to do it in the middle of the night, because he didn't want film of it. He didn't want coverage of it, or as little as possible. Now, for those of you who are completely confused at this point, you're like, wait, didn't I hear in the big, beautiful bill that ICE and Customs Border Patrol was funded through 2029?
Well, fully funded, yeah.
Yes. But those are the core operating functions, right? So we can still run it. We're going to get a lot done with it through 29, okay? I mean, it's going to be good. But that's not the full operating budget. Like, they'd be operating it, like, full total. They were going to get $10 billion.
Yep.
And the fear here is, and it's a legitimate fear, and Politico was giddy over it. They're a Democrat media outlet.
Oh, no kidding.
Well, the fear is, if we can't fund Customs and Border Patrol and ICE in a Republican-controlled House and Republican-controlled Senate,
can you imagine what it's going to be?
It may never be funded again.
That's right.
And then it's total open borders, no Customs and Border Patrol, and no internal enforcement. And remember what I've explained to you. Democrats spent 20 years suing in court to make sure no local cop, no highway patrol member, no city, no county, no state law enforcement could ever touch an illegal immigrant for immigration violations. Only federal agents could. They established that body of law over 20 years. Now we're in the end phase, Roger, where they fire all the federal agents. So there's no one in America who's allowed to touch a precious hair on the head of a future Democrat, violent, illegal immigrant, probably Trende Aragua voter.
And half of the judicial system right now is populated by people from that era. So it would be a simple matter to get the other half when they regain power. And that's the end of that for redress to the courts.
So I hope they find a way out of this. By the way, John Thune was, just for the record, just to be fair, on Fox News insisting, get this, you want to hear something funny?
Yeah.
He's winning, Roger. He has beaten the Democrats, he says. And he did not cave, not at all.
And when you can't tell one player from another without a program.
I know.
Schumer said you caved. Did you?
No, we didn't cave. I mean, ultimately, what the Democrats did, you can say this was all about for 40 days, and I was a part of a lot of those meetings for 40 days. It was all about, quote, reforms, restrictions on ICE and on CBP agents and what they could or couldn't do. They got none of that. They got zero of the reforms that they were advocating for. In the end, this was all about their left-wing base demanding that no funding be provided. The good news for us is we saw this coming, and we pre-funded this last summer.
Okay.
So ICE and CBP are funded and will be funded at the end of the fiscal year, and then we'll plus up and add to those accounts to make sure they're funded in future years.
Let's move on to Pam Bondi, a stalwart attorney general who was tightly in Donald Trump's inner circle until she was fired this week. Here's Annie Fry.
Todd Blanche, who's the deputy attorney general, has been named acting attorney general. But acting attorney general isn't the final say. The people have the final say in by way of confirmation through the Senate. So the question is, where will President Trump go next? Can I implore any more passionately and deeply to please consider appointing Ron DeSantis to be the attorney general of the United States? I just can't. If Marco Rubio is the secretary of state and Ron DeSantis is the attorney general in a Donald Trump presidency, That's my fantasy team.
Let's set aside tomorrow and just do 3 hours on it. Because if you go passionate and harder, maybe the word will get out.
There's this girl in St. Louis. Big DeSantis fan.
Mr. President.
Mr. President. Yeah, exactly. So what will happen next? There are some names being floated out there like Lee Zeldin with the EPA. I don't know if that is something that somebody jumped on to get a scoop and put it out there. Fox News is reporting that he's being considered. Of course, it's got to get confirmed in the Senate. And as we heard from Hans von Spakovsky a little bit earlier in the show, if you're from somebody who's already within the federal government, the administration, they've already had all the FBI vetting that needs to happen, which takes a little time, I'd imagine, especially for a position like attorney general. So how will the administration go? We're not sure. But the news of the day, big news of the day, President Trump has fired Attorney General Pam Bondi. Let's get our guest on here. Jeroy Murdoch, nationally syndicated columnist, Project 21 ambassador and Fox News contributor. Jeroy, welcome back. It's good to have you here.
Hey, it's great to be with you.
What are your thoughts? I'm going to ask you about Pam Bondi on her ouster from this administration and the position of Attorney General.
Well, it's funny. You know, I've made the comment a couple of times that it's very hard to keep up with the Trump administration. Every minute it's something else. So I walked out of my apartment and medical appointment. And everything was calm and nice. People were talking about the speech last night. As I'm walking into the Fox News building at about 1:45, about 45 minutes ago, I see Pam Bondi fired. I go, well, brand new story. Here we go. So.
Yeah, exactly.
So it is definitely big news today. I had heard some rumblings about people being not so thrilled with Pam Bondi, not because of a lack of enthusiasm or lack of support for President Trump, but we have had a number of instances where, especially with the U.S. attorneys who've been named, like Ms. Haba in New Jersey, another woman whose name escapes me right now, in Virginia, and they were there doing their jobs, and they were told they weren't appointed correctly. There was some problem with the paperwork or some procedure or whatever, and those folks had to leave. And so some stumbles like that, I imagine those sorts of things might have frustrated President Trump. I believe he was at the Supreme Court yesterday when the birthright citizenship case was being presented to the court, and I heard a comment here on Fox News that he wasn't terribly thrilled with the way the case was being presented. Maybe he was frustrated that this important case was not going more smoothly. Who knows how the justice ultimately will prevail. But I guess the courtroom presentation wasn't quite up to President Trump's appreciation or preference or whatever, according to the story I saw. So maybe that was maybe the final straw that let people think he needs to change things around. But I don't think it's something like she's been disloyal or acting inappropriately or doing anything wrong per se, but maybe just thinks maybe that there could be stronger leadership at DOJ than she's been able to provide.
Yeah, we read the Truth Social post from President Trump. It was actually very kind and flattering to Pam Bondi, and said she was going to go work in the private sector at a position that had not been publicly named yet. I'm curious if she has that private sector job lined up already. But, you know, I think about the number one criticism of this presidency from the leftists that are out there constantly trying to bring people back to the attention of one particular subject matter, the Epstein files. There's never really any substance that's provided in that leftist jab towards the administration or Donald Trump specifically, but there is this kind of air of the Trump administration has tried to cover up the Epstein files. And I'm looking back at the way Pam Bondi handled that that particular issue, and it felt like it could have been handled better, kind of created a story where maybe it didn't need to be created, kind of a distraction. I'm just curious, from whoever becomes the next Attorney General, Joy, are there areas where you'd really like them to key in and focus and try to get to the bottom of some of these things where a lot of people are saying we should start seeing arrests here?
Good point. On the first part about Epstein, I think that early on there was some question about, you know, when are the files going to come out or will there come out and back and forth, and that could have been handled, I guess, a bit more smoothly. I do know that the left said, you know, there was a cover-up, we want the files, and then as soon as the files would come out, you know, hundreds of thousands of pages, there was a complaint among some of the victims that their names were mentioned, and then it's like, why did you put the names in? Why did you leave the names in? Well, you're screaming for millions of pages to come out. You know, it's not surprising that some of the names will slip through if you're trying to get all these pages out as rapidly as possible. So again, they're the perfect example of how the left is not happy when Trump doesn't do A, he does A, and they say, why are you doing A? So this is their usual behavior. Whoever the new attorney general is, whether it's interim attorney general Todd Blanche becoming permanent attorney general, I think Lee Zeldin is fantastic. I think he make a great attorney general. He's an extremely capable and talented young man, and very energetic and hardcore. I think he'd be terrific. And one area that needs to be worked on is to get justice for victims of weaponization and lawfare. I'm talking about people like Michael Caputo, an old friend of mine. I'm talking about people like people who've suffered, like Roger Stone, George Papadopoulos, a whole bunch of these people who were basically brought into the Russia hoax, brought into other accusations of wrongdoing. These people never did anything wrong, and many of them have been bankrupted by legal fees. I think Roger Stone lost his home. Michael Flynn, I believe, had to sell his house in order to pay his legal fees. He was threatened with being thrown in prison, but had to be pardoned by President Trump just before he left office. Same with Rudy Giuliani, who is basically bankrupt at this point. So these people need to be compensated for their losses. The people who tortured them and persecuted them need to be put on trial, I think, for basically conspiracy for abuse of power in certain cases like that of Andrew McCabe. When Michael Flynn at the White House, when early on in the administration in the Trump 45, was told by Andrew McCabe, hey, are you free to have a couple of my FBI guys come talk to you? Michael Flynn said, hey, do I need to get a lawyer? And I believe McCabe said, oh, no, you don't need any lawyers. It's just going to be a chat. Well, that to me is basically a violation of Miranda rights, Miranda rights protection people have. If somebody says, can I get a lawyer? And you tell them, no, you don't need a lawyer. If it's not a de facto, a de jure violation of Miranda rights, certainly de facto violation of Miranda rights, that kind of thing. Those sort of people who did this sort of behavior, I put James Comey in there, I put Clapper in there, I put Brennan, all these people around the Russia hoax, they need to be disbarred. They need to have their law license shredded. Those people don't need to go to prison for what they've done. And I think the Trump administration could do a lot more to compensate the victims of weaponization lawfare.
Here's Tommy Tucker with another take on Pam Bondi and Pete Hicksett.
D. Smith joins us, director of the University of New Hampshire Survey Center. How you doing, Andy?
I'm doing great, thanks.
Let's talk about what's going on in Washington with Pam Bondi, the attorney general. This surprised me, really, because I don't know that there could be anybody more loyal to the president than Pam Bondi.
Yeah, she certainly tried to be loyal to her, to Trump, but I guess that Trump didn't think that she was doing enough to get the outcomes that he had hoped for from her. And I think that's the biggest issue. It's not really surprising that she's gone because, we read a lot of this stuff from the press, and who knows what's really going on inside of the White House rather than what the press actually gets. But there has been there have been rumors that she was on thin ice for months now, and especially for the last 3 or 4 months. And I think that's because she didn't get done what Trump had hoped she would do, and that is prosecute his political enemies. And I think the biggest issues that she's run into is that sometimes there's just no there to prosecute.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. She tried, didn't she?
I think she tried to. First off, the courts are notoriously slow. They don't go along with the speed that the president hopes things would get done. And, the procedural issues and then the factual issues, sometimes it's just not enough there. Despite what the president might have been reading in the paper or hearing on Fox News, a lot of times those people that he thinks are his political enemies and who have done illegal things or criminal things against him, maybe they just did some things he didn't like, but they weren't criminal.
When it comes to President Trump, he can be a lightning rod. And I always like to get a voice of reason, and I look at you as that voice of reason. Are his actions blatantly worse than any other president when it comes to, and I mean by blatant, he doesn't hide it. He'll come out and say this guy's stupid or that one's this or the other one's this. And maybe it was going on behind the scenes with other presidents and we just didn't know it. And maybe the machinations were in place where that stuff was going on. We didn't know it. What thoughts on that?
I think that's pretty accurate because, you can think of back to the Nixon White House. There were things going on behind the scenes, and the attorney general back at that time, John Mitchell, was going along with some of the things that were found to be illegal later on, and Mitchell was disbarred. But Nixon was never publicly accusing his enemies of those sorts of things that Trump is. And I think about this. What is it that causes Trump to be so public in his criticisms of people and of his enemies, where it might be better just to be quiet about it? And you think back to one of his early mentors, Roy Cohn. He was an attorney to Joe McCarthy, the senator from Wisconsin, during a lot of the anti-communist hearings in the 1950s. And it was publicly attack, tar your enemies, and make them defend themselves. So I think that may be the strategy that he adopted from that or learned from Cohn, and he's been doing that ever since.
But is he on par with other presidents as far as turnover in the second administration?
I think there's more turnover in Trump's administration than other presidents. The second term, not as much, but we're not even halfway through that yet. So Bondi's lasted, about a year and a couple months. But Jeff Sessions in the first administration didn't last 2 years because he wasn't seen as doing the things that Trump wanted him to do. So I think it's more of a pattern for Trump if somebody's perceived as not really getting the results that Trump wants, then it's time for them to be fired and get somebody else in there who might do it. And it looks like the people that are being lined up for this, at least what you read in the press, Lee Zeldin and Todd Blanche, who's now the acting attorney general, are much more of Trump loyalists than Bondi was. She was an outsider in the Trump campaign, so maybe the expectation from Trump is that these people are going to get the job done because they're really truly loyal to Trump. Oh, he wants an attorney general that is aligned with him both politically and that he can trust. Mm-hmm. Those two are not necessarily the same thing, but something that he can really trust. And if in that sense, if the president doesn't trust the people who are working for him and he has the ability to remove them, he should remove them just because they've lost the confidence of the president.
I know what had been said, but this really did surprise me because I know even to hang in the picture of him outside of the Justice Department, I didn't think anybody could show more loyalty to the president than did she. And that got me to wondering about a guy like Pete Hegseth and if you could ever see President Trump turning on him.
Well, I think if you were a Trump administration person at the top of one of these agencies, I think that the Bondi removal is a call that if you want to stick around, you'd really better amp things up and do what the president wants.
An appropriate crucifixion on Good Friday?
Yeah.
Pretty much?
Somebody's got to take the fall for the rest of them. You know?
Well, and that's what I'm saying, and I'm not trying to be sacrilegious here, but they didn't take Jesus behind a building where nobody could see it. They did that for a reason, and I got to believe that along the lines of what you're saying, that President Trump was kind of sending a message with this as well.
Absolutely. I think that is the case. And one of the things about the Trump administration and the people that he's appointed to many of these positions is that they're not long. They aren't people that have had a long career or a lot of experience in Washington politics. Mm-hmm. And I can understand why you don't want to have necessarily people from inside what he calls the swamp. But also, those people who have been in the swamp know how the bureaucracies work.
They know what
and know how
are,
to get
right?
things done. They know where the snakes are and how to avoid them
and
maybe to get rid of them. And I think that's Hegseth's problem is that he's really doing a slash and burn. And I have to say with the Army, who's the military's job is, I think, more consequential internationally, obviously, than the Attorney General's. But being such a cheerleader for war or for maybe some things that the U.S. Army is not known for is not going to be good in the long run in regard to our allies.
Thank you for listening to Red Meat, a collection of conservative audio from Odyssey's talk stations across the country. This is the place where we're not afraid to dig in, listen wherever you get podcasts, and smash that subscribe button.